Well, as Brother Mike already has said, we begin a series today in 2 Peter, and so I invite you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Our text is the first 11 verses, but I want to begin with verse 14 because verse 14 is really the intent of the entire series. You may remember several years ago a country music singer named Tim McGraw sung a song entitled, What Would You Do If You Knew That You Weren't Going to Live Forever? Live Like You're Dying. And the intent of that song was to say that you'd raise the level of your living, your energy would go up. You'd take chances, you'd do more things than you would by playing it safe. But Tim McGraw wrote that loosely about his father, Tug McGraw, who was a Major League Baseball player a number of years ago. But Peter beat Tim McGraw to the subject. For here's what Peter says in chapter 1, verse 14. I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Simon Peter is simply saying, I want to teach you how to live like you were dying. Because he knew his time of departure was at hand. And he had some final instructions for the saints of God 2,000 years ago. So today we're going to talk about building a forever faith. We're going to talk about becoming more than you are, all you can be for the cause of Christ. Knowing this, that we shall not be here forever, and while we're here, we ought to raise our level of Christianity to the highest potential possible. Chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant. And permit me to stop, because if you'll remember, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter only announced himself as an apostle. Now, by the time he arrives at the second book, it may be that he has learned a little, for he now says, I am a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brother affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pause with me as we pray. Father, cause this passage to just come to life. Help that which I have studied and that which you have laid upon my heart to become obvious to this congregation so that together we can build a forever faith. Help us today by your Holy Spirit to maximize this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, what would you do if you knew your time was near? The truth is, none of us really know whether we have an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade, or more. And yet, here is what we know. We will not always be here. And there will be a time when we'll stand in the presence of our Lord and give an account for the potential we had as a believer and for the lifestyle we lived as we professed Christ. So I simply want to take these first 11 verses and teach you what Peter was teaching those disciples of his day about building a forever faith. And in order for me to do that, I'm going to use a literal building as an illustration, because I think that's what Peter is doing. He's talking about building up the spiritual lifestyle. First and foremost, he says to us, if you're going to build, you need the right kind of collateral. You need an investor. You need capital funds. You need to make sure you can do what you set out to do. You say, Pastor, where in the world did you see that? Well, let me ask you a question. If you're going to build a house or a church, have you ever thought about going down to the bank and saying to them, I need X number of dollars to build this house, this business, or this church? The very first thing they're going to say to you is, we would love to loan you the money, but what is your collateral? How can you prove to us that you will be able to repay the funds? Try saying to them, oh, just trust me. Unfortunately, you won't get the money, but offer to them something worth far more than they're going to loan you, and that's called solid capital or collateral. Well, here is my collateral. Here is my investor. Jesus says, I am giving to you great and precious promises. And by my power, Peter says, you're going to be able to build a forever life of faith. Peter says, his divine power has granted to us all things to pertain to life and godliness. What kind of investor has come along beside me and said to me, hey, Don, build a forever faith? Why, it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say to him, Lord, how can I build a forever faith? You know what he says? Lean on me. Borrow it from me. Trust me. Follow me. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge me. And I'll establish your going. You know what he's really saying to me? It's not going to be your faith. It's going to be my faith invested in you. And you're going to live out the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, let me illustrate something to you. Let's suppose I lined every one of you up. Ever how many hundred folks are in the room this morning? We'll just make a line. And I'm going to write a $1 million check to every one of you. You happy about that? Well, you would be until about 9 o'clock in the morning. But the bank's open. And the moment you presented that check to the bank, they would make you very sad. They would look at you and say, he does not have the funds for me to cash this check. And so the piece of paper I have written upon is worth nothing at all to you. But you do know that there are some folks in this world that if they were to make you that kind of promise, you'd have no problem getting the cash when you went to the bank tomorrow. Well, I serve a God who has made me a promise, and I have no problem receiving from Him the promise that He has made to me. And they are great, and they are precious promises. And by those great and precious promises, Peter says, I have the power to live the divine nature, that I am a partaker of the divine nature of Almighty God. He is my investor. He is my collateral. He is the capital funds that lets me know that if I build a life of faith, I can certainly lean upon Him. Great and precious promises. The second thing I want you to get from this passage is this. If you're going to build a building, at least in Conway, and some of you know this for certain, you're going to have to follow the building code. Can I get an amen from anybody who's ever built a building? The first thing you need is an architect. Somebody needs to have in his mind the design that needs to be built. And that design needs to be put down on paper. And then that design, put down on paper, needs to be given so that the building codes can be established and the building can be built based upon the rules and the regulations that are firm and fixed. Well, the architect of the ages had in his mind what he wanted Don Chandler and everybody else in this room to look like as they lived out the Christian life. And guess what? He put it down on paper, and he presented it to the Father, who, by the way, He's the head of all the codes, all the regulations, all the rules, and all the requirements. And the Father said, I love it. I absolutely love it. I want everybody who bears the name of Christ to be conformed to the image of my Son, Jesus Christ. And the Father said, so that's how we're going to do that. That's the code. That's the enforcement. That's the blueprint. How's it going to come to pass? And Peter tells us, he says, the first thing that's going to happen is that you're going to obtain a faith of equal standing with ours. Do you get what that is? Simon Peter, an apostle. My faith is the same faith that the apostle Peter had. I want you to get this morning. I'd have loved to have been a fly on the wall when Jesus spoke to John the Revelator. I'd have been on the ship and loved to have seen Him calm the storm. I'd have liked to have been just outside the tomb of Lazarus and heard Him say, come forth and watch the dead come back to life. But I want you to know that those who stood as eyewitnesses during the personal ministry of Jesus are not one ounce more saved than you are or than I am. I want you to know that the faith that I have in Jesus Christ this morning is just as real as the faith that Simon Peter had in Him. And you say, Don, are you bragging on you? I'm telling you, Simon said that the same faith God gave Simon, God gave me, and God gave you. We have a like precious faith. So it's going to start like this. The building is going to be built when you make your calling and your election sure. When you know and know that you know that you are saved by the grace of God. When you know that your faith is strong in Jesus Christ the Lord. Not when you trust in membership. Not when you trust in baptism. Not when you trust in what you've given, what you've done, or who you are, but when you trust singularly and solely in Jesus Christ the Lord, your foundation is going to be firm, and based upon that, your salvation is going to be a sure and certain thing. Now, that's salvation. I want to talk to you about sanctification. You see, the Scriptures talk about God working in salvation. Then it talks about you working out sanctification. What God works in, you work out. And so the moment that the gift comes, which is in the mind of the architect and approved by the code, the moment that the salvation comes, Peter then says, here's what you do. To your faith, that's the gift of God. To your faith, he said, you add virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love. Anybody that's ever preached knows that there's at least four sermons right there. I told the folks in first service that we'd have to be out by 9:30 because life group started, but I felt really sorry for you because we don't have to get out at any particular time. They laughed too. But I'll not preach those four sermons, but I will remind you that added to your faith, and faith comes from God, salvation, added to your faith are the works God intends for you to practice as a born-again believer. It's called sanctification. It's when you decide that God gave you faith and you're going to add virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love to what God has already given to you. Let me tell you how that works. You go to the doctor. You tell him how sick you are. He diagnoses your problem. He writes your prescription. And you take it home and tape it to the refrigerator. Every day when you pass by the refrigerator and take a look at the prescription, you wonder why you're not getting any better. Someone needs to tell you that the prescription was not to be taped to the refrigerator, but rather to be taken to the drugstore, filled, and then the medication was to be taken. That's how you get well. A whole lot of professing Christians claim it. I'm saved by the grace of God. I've walked the aisle. I've joined the church. And now I've taped it to the refrigerator, and I remind myself now and then that I am a Christian. Here's what God says. You take that and you add to it all of the things required so that you will live like you were dying, so that you will build up your most holy faith, so that faith alone is not all that you will have. For faith alone is not alone. It comes with virtue. It comes with knowledge. It comes with wisdom and godliness and brotherly affection and real Christian love. There's more to the salvation experience than just God putting faith in your heart. There is you putting yourself into Christ in such a way that the life you live manifests Him to everyone you come into contact with. And so He says, when you do that, you will not be blind and forgot or forget that you've been cleansed, and so that you'll be effective and fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rip that prescription down this morning. Begin to take the medicine of God's will for your life. Build up your most holy faith. Number three, build with growth in mind. Let me give you two principles real quickly. I want you to forget these. Principle number one, spiritual growth has nothing to do with how old you are. Did you hear me? Spiritual growth has nothing to do with how old you are. I've known some young people who could soar for Jesus, and I've known some folks who were well up in years who remained as stagnant from year to year to year to year as could possibly be imagined. Your age has nothing to do with your spiritual growth. Number two, you can grow as fast as you want to and go as far as you want to for the cause of Christ. You don't have to be an old timer to discover the great news of the gospel. You can grow as fast as you want to, and you can grow as far as you want to in the things of God. So number three, build with growth in mind. If you've ever built a house, and certainly you maybe were a part of us building the church, we got it finished, we moved into it, and we discovered one thing. It wasn't big enough. I've never seen anybody build a house that they didn't later say, I wish we'd added more closets. We could have used more classrooms. This space was not large enough. That space was not large enough. It's just the nature of building. We never quite build as big as we ought to. You know what we do as Christians? We build a little, or a revival comes along, or we hear a sermon series, or a song challenges us, or something comes into our life like Rhonda's song was about, and we go through a crisis or a valley, and we commit ourselves, and we dedicate ourselves afresh, and for a little while we grow, and then all of a sudden we say, you know, we've grown, period. You want to hear something? As long as you live, the Father intends for you to continue to grow. Every time you breathe, you ought to be breathing more rarefied spiritual air than the breath before. Every day with Jesus ought to be sweeter. Every day the Word ought to become plainer. Every time you come to the church service, it ought to become more precious to you. Growth is a part of the Christian life. And the moment that you stop growing, you start dying. And that's what we're talking about, building a forever faith as you live, knowing that one day you and I will die. Now, I believe that there are at least three kinds of faith in the room this morning. There may be some here this morning, you have a faulty faith. I'm not trying to offend you, I'm just telling you the truth. Your faith is built on something less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Your faith is built on your membership. Daddy was a deacon. Oh, I've been baptized. In fact, I got baptized when I was a kid and again when I was an adult. I got to be okay. If your faith is built on anything less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, it's a faulty faith. And then there are many here this morning, you have a firm faith. Your faith is built on Christ. You actually have come, repented of your sin, confessed them, asked Jesus to come into your heart and life and forgive you, and you are a Christian. And you've confirmed that in your heart and your soul. But I believe there's another reach that's available to even those of us who are firmly convinced we're Christians. I believe there's a flowing faith. Jesus stood in John chapter 7 and he said, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink of the water that I have, that he may never thirst again. Now listen to what he said. And then out of his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. The average Baptist has no concept of what God can and would do if we abided in Christ as we're taught. And if we added all of those elements to the faith that he has given to us, he says we would be diligent. He says we would be certain. He says we would be fruitful. He says we would be effective as God's children if we built up this most holy faith. So you get the right investor, your collateral. That's the precious promises of Jesus. You follow the building code. Your life is not to be built upon your design, your plan, or your purpose, but you're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You build with growth in mind. Never ever satisfied, always seeking and pursuing. This last one, I want you to get it. Even as you build, plan for the move. No, you didn't get it, so I'll express it another way. I know it's a brand new building. I know it's a brand new house. I know I just moved into this. But this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door. I'll not be at home in this world anymore. Build with growth in mind, but even as you build, plan for the move. You say, but Pastor, I'm 16 years old. I have bad news. Teenagers die. Pastor, I'm just a young family man or woman. I have bad news. Life is uncertain. Pastor, I just left the doctor's office last week. I have a perfect bill of health. I have bad news. Automobile accidents occur. James says life is like a vapor that lasts a little while, and then it's gone. And I am not trying to depress you, because for the Christian, that bad news is really good news. I don't have to put up with this much longer. When it gets so bad down here that the trumpet sounds, this world will be left behind and we'll be at home with Jesus. So here's what I want you to know about a forever faith. Plan for the move. You say, where you find that? Verse 11. For in this way there will be richly provided for you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Peter was writing with a Greek influence. He was talking about the Olympics. When the games started, the stadium normally was not full at all. The Colosseum might have a few hundred in it when the games started, because here's what the spectators knew. The games would not be completed until the runners left the stadium, wound their way through the city, going as far as the racetrack would lead, until they rounded the final bend, came down the final stretch, and came back into the entrance of the Colosseum. And by that time, the stadium would be packed. And when the runners came back through the entrance into the Colosseum to go round that track one last time, the multitude stood and cheered for the runners who were almost finished with the race. Paul catches a glimpse of that in the 12th chapter of Hebrews and says that we are encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses that watch after us. And then he says, so run the race with patience. What's laid out before you, press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. And Peter says, you've built your faith. Peter says, you've built your faith up. You've made your calling and election sure. You're growing in grace. You're being conformed to the image of Jesus. But he said, I want to tell you something. I'm an apostle, but my Lord's told me that my time down here is almost over. And he said, before I leave, I want to make sure you remember that for you, there is a glorious entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. He said, I want you to know that if you've got the same kind of faith that I have, and you do, that not only will they be standing and cheering when I come home, they will be standing and cheering when you come home too. The crown awaits. The crowd rises. The racers are finishing the course. Henceforth, there is laid up for us a crown of righteousness. And the crowd will shout, well done, thou good and faithful servant, as we enter into the eternal King of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, getting up early, coming to church on a rainy Sunday, you won't regret it. One of these days, staying up late and reading your Bible, you won't regret it. One of these days, talking to your neighbor about Jesus and weeping with him until he comes to Christ, you'll never regret that. One of these days, saying no to the trial and no to the temptation and no to the trouble and yes to the cause of Christ, you will never regret that. All of the rehearsal, all of the discipline, and all of the practice turns into the shouts of glory when you cross the finish line and enter into that eternal kingdom. And you will be glad you have built a forever faith when you come into the kingdom of the King of Glory. Amen. 1173 was the year they started to build the Tower of Pisa. Little did they know when they began the building that the very word Pisa itself meant marshy land. And so, as Paul Harvey used to say, you already know the rest of the story. They built it. And they tell us that 1/20th of an inch each year, the building leans. And so, somewhere around the year 2400 to 2500, none of you have to worry, it's going to fall. It's leaning. And it's built on marshy land. And Jesus said, two men went out to build their lives. And one man built on the sand, and the other man built on the rock. And the man who built on the sand experienced the storms of life, and his life fell apart. And one man built on the rock, and he too experienced the storms of life, and his house stood strong, and his life did not waver. He had built a forever faith. Some of you are leaning. Some of you are leaning. Some of us in this room today need to grasp the truth of this passage. We shall stand in His presence. We shall give an account for the life that we've lived. He has offered us faith. It is a like precious faith, as great as the faith delivered to the saints. But He has required of us that we add to that faith all of the elements mentioned in these 11 verses. Now I want you to listen to me. Don't question my doctrine. Listen to my warning. Before you leave this life a Baptist and say, I'm all right because I believed, listen to my warning. He said, if you believe, you will add to your belief these elements that will prove you to be effective, fruitful, certain, and secure. The security of the believer is a doctrine Satan often uses for those who do not match up with the commands of the Word of God. Security and assurance are absolute for those who build a forever faith. Make believers will discover too late that it takes more than just a profession. It takes a possession. Let's stand together. And I ask you again, is your life leaning? What are you building your life upon? There'll be pastors in the altar. If you've never come to Christ as your personal Savior, that's the first step. There is absolutely no doubt that's the very first thing you ought to do. Make certain of your relationship to God through Christ. But there are many of us in this room this morning that with the firm faith that we've trusted Christ, we need to be on our faces in the altar saying, Lord, I want that flowing faith. I want to add to my faith all of those elements that will make me fruitful and increase me and conform me to the image of Jesus. So it very well may be that some need to just come and find a praying place. Others may need to come and become a part of our church family. Others need to take somebody by the hand and say, go to the altar and pray with me. God will speak to your heart if you'll be willing to be obedient. So pastors, come please and be here in the altar. Let's sing together. You respond if God speaks to your heart.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small.